السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 50 to 58 of Surah Nisa today. We'll begin with the word meanings. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Unzur, look or see. This is a command. Kaifa, how? Yaftaruna, they fabricate. Iftara is the root word, and that means a lie. To come up with a lie. And ya in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yaftaruna, they invent a lie, or they fabricate. Ala, against Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-kadhiba, the lie. Wa and kafa is sufficient. Bihi, bi means definitely. He, it, ithman, in sin, mubina, one clear or explicit. Alam, a is used to ask a question. Did, lam, na, tara, you see, ila, towards, alladhina, those who, utu, they were given, nasiban, a share or a portion, min, of, al-kitabi, the book, yu'minuna. This word comes from iman, which means to believe. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yu'minuna, they believe, bi, in, al, the, jibti. Jibt means superstitions or idols. Wa and at-taghuti. Taghut means the false gods, the false idols that are worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and yaquluna, they say, lilladhina, to those who, li means for or to, alladhina, those who, kafaru, they disbelieved, ha'ula'i, these, ahda, are more guided. Huda means guidance, and that's the root word here. And alif at the beginning of this word just adds more depth to it. So ahda are more guided, min, than, alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed, sabila, in way. Ulaika, those, allazina, those who, la'anahum, la'ana, he cursed, hum, them, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and man, whoever, yel'an, he curses, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, falan, fa, so, lan, will never, tajida, you find. Ta in the beginning means you, and then tajida means you will find, la, for, who, him, nasira, any helper, or, lahum, la, for, whom, them, nasibun, a share or portion, min, from, al-mulki, the kingdom. Fa-idhan, fa, so, idhan, then, la, na, yu'tuna, they give. Yu'tu means to give, and the una ending makes this word plural. So, yu'tuna, they will give, an-nasa, the mankind, or to the people, naqira, in the least bit. Naqira is a word that's used for the dot on the date stone. It's on the side of the date stone. There's a little hole, a dot. So naqira means in the least bit, or even as small as a dot on the date stone. Or Yahsuduna, they envy. This word comes from hasad, which means envy or jealousy. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. Yahsuduna, they envy. An-nasa, the mankind or people. Ala, upon. Ma, whatever. Atahum, ata, he gave hum, them. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min, from. Fadlihi, fadl means bounty or grace. He, his. Faqada, fa, then. Qada, in fact. Ateina, ate, gave or bestowed. Na, we. Na is the pronoun here and it means we. So ateina, we gave. Ala, ala means family. Ibrahima, of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Al-kitaba, the book, wal-hikmata, and the wisdom, wa-ataynahum, wa and ataina, we gave hum, them, mulkan, a kingdom, azima, one great, fa, so, minhum, min, from, hum, them, man, who, amana, he believed, bihi, be, with, he, it, wa and, minhum, min, from, hum, them, man, who, shadda, stopped or hindered, anhu, an, from, who, it, wa, and, kafa, it is sufficient, be, definitely, jahannama, hell, sa'ira, as a blazing fire. Inna alladhina, inna, indeed, alladhina, those who, kafaru, they disbelieved. Bi ayatina, be in ayati, verses or signs, na, ours. Sofa, soon, will. Nusli him. Nusli, we make to burn. We make to enter and burn. Him, them, naran, in the hellfire. Kullama, whenever. Nadijat, was consumed or was thoroughly burnt out. Juluduhum, julud, skins, hum, theirs. Baddalnahum, baddal means to change, na, we, hum, them. Juludan, skins, ghayraha, ghayra, other than, ha, it, or them. And this refers to the skins. Liyadhuku, li, so that, yadhuku, they taste, al-adhab, the punishment. Inna Allaha, inna, indeed, Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kana, is, azizan, always almighty, hakiman, always all wise. These are both attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walladhina, wa, and alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed. Wa and amilu, they did. As-salihat, the good deeds. Sa nudkhiluhum, sa, will soon, nudkhilu. Nun in the beginning means we, and dakhala means to enter. So nudkhilu, we will enter. We will admit or make to enter. Hum, them, jannatin, gardens. Tajri, flow, min, from, tahtiha. Tahti, underneath, ha, it, or them. Al-anhar, the rivers. Khalidina, ones abiding eternally. Fiha, fi, in, ha, it. Abadan, forever. Lahum, la, for, hum, them. Fiha, fi, in, ha, it. Azwajan, spouses. This is plural for the word zoj, which means a spouse. So azwaj, spouses. Mutahharatun, ones completely purified. Wa and nudkhiluhum. Nudkhilu, we will admit hum, them. Dhillan, in shades. Dhalila, thick or dense. Inna Allaha, inna, indeed, Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya'murukum. Amr is the root word and that means to order or command. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So ya'muru, he orders or he commands, kum, all of you. An that, tu'addu, you all pay. or give back. That in the beginning tells us this word is addressing someone. So tu means you, and waw alif in the end makes this word plural. So tu addu, you all pay or give back. Al amanati, al means the, and amanat means the trust or the deposit. Ila to ahliha. Ahli, deserving. Ha, it's, or meaning, it's owners. Okay, it's entitled owners, or the deserving. Wa and idha, when. Hakamtum. Hakama means, hakam means to judge. So hakam, judge. Tum, all of you. Baina, between. Annasi, the people. An that. Tahkumu, you all judge. This is the same word as hakam, but it starts out with da and it ends in waw alif, so it's plural. So tahkumu, you all judge. Bil adl, be with al the adl, justice. Inna, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ni'imma, how good is what? Ma means what? Ya'idhukum, ya'idhu, he admonishes, kum, all of you, be with he, it. Inna allaha, inna, indeed, allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kana, is, sami'an, one always all-hearing, basira, one always all-seeing. These are both attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sami'an, basira, one who is always all-hearing, and the one who is always all-seeing. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we'll begin with the tafsir of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Unzur kayfa yaftaruna 'ala Allahi al-kadhib. See how they invent a lie against Allah. This is a continuation of what we were learning about the Jews in the previous ayat. They claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven them already for whatever they do wrong, because Allah loves them. And they also say that they're the sons of Allah. They say, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. Astaghfirullah. And by saying this, they basically claim that they won't have to pay for any of their sins in any way. وَكَفَى بِهِ إِثْمًا مُبِينًا. And this in itself is enough to show their manifest sin. They clearly fabricated a lie against Allah. They invented a lie against Him when they say this. And they are committing a great sin when they do this. People come up with lies against Allah nowadays too. When they say things, like when people say that He ordered something, when He hasn't ordered people to do something. They say that He has commanded this to be done. They just say it because they want things to be that way, or just because they heard other people saying that. But we should be very careful when we say that Allah commanded something. We should make sure that He actually did order something before we start telling anyone else that He did. Because that would be like fabricating a lie against Allah. People carelessly ascribe false things to Allah, but they should be afraid of Him. And many people say that Allah doesn't seize people for such little things. He's not going to seize them. But they should remember that He can seize anyone He wants, okay, for whatever He wills. Okay, He can seize anyone. They forge a lie against Allah, so they can't hope to get away with it. We must be extremely careful when we say anything about Allah. At times, people see someone doing something sinful, and they say that, oh, Allah is never going to forgive this person. But how can they say that when they don't have the right to? Only Allah has the right to forgive or seize people for their sins. Nobody else can judge. We learn from hadith that a person ends up in Jahannam just because of something he or she says. Okay, just because of something that person says, they end up in Jahannam. Astaghfirullah. So that person carelessly said something to upset Allah, and that leads to that person's destruction. Alam tara ila alladhina, have you not seen those? Utu nasibam min al-kitab, who were given a portion of the book. Yu'minuna bil jibti wa taghut, they believe in superstition and taghut, meaning the forces of shaitan. This is shocking because they actually have a portion of the book. So how can they believe in jibt and taghut? Now, what are the jibt and taghut? Let's discuss these things in detail first so we understand what they are better. Jibt is anything that is useless, anything vain and untruthful. That includes magic, spells, fortune telling, tarot cards, and all superstitious things. The Jews used to practice doing these things, and they were the ones who tried to cast a magic spell on Prophet ﷺ too. They had put the book aside and started doing other useless things instead, because they didn't bother learning their book. When people have knowledge of their book, they don't waste time with such useless things. And they're not superstitious about things. They don't think that things will harm them or benefit them in any way. Okay, that doing things on certain dates or at certain times is going to harm or benefit them in any way. Okay, they're not superstitious. They don't think that something is going to be bad luck for them. They're focused on living their lives according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's instructions. So if anyone believes that a person can tell them what will happen in the future, or if something is good or bad luck for them, or if someone can tell them if going somewhere or getting married to someone will be good for that person or not, they're basically doing shirk. Because only Allah has knowledge of the ghaib, the unseen, the things that have not happened already. That's why magicians and fortune tellers do shirk. And anyone who believes what they tell them is also committing shirk. So that's jibt. And next is the word taghut. And that comes from tagha, which means to rebel. Okay? And it also means to cross the limits of Allah. It includes everything that turns people away from Islam. It means the forces of shaitan that prevent people from worshipping Allah. That is all taghut. So taghut can be actions or things that people do. And it can be individuals, it can be organizations, governments, idols, and all the things that lead people astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it's shocking how they run to jibt and taghut, even though they have the book. If we think about it, many Muslims do these things too, without realizing how sinful these actions make them. Jibt and taghut are the complete opposite of Islam. Because jibt and taghut actually promote shirk, so Muslims must avoid them. For anyone to think that a black cat is bad luck for them, or the number 13 is bad luck, or that it's not good to get married in the months of Safar or Muharram, that's all wrong. When people start thinking that these things have the power to harm them or benefit them, they're basically saying that they don't believe in Allah, the power of Allah. Because we read in the Quran, إِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرْنِيُ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ. If Allah wants to afflict you with a misfortune, nobody can remove it. And if He intends any goodness for you, nobody can stop Him. Okay, so we have to remember this. But Muslims have come up with so many things that aren't even true. We must stop being superstitious and remember that only Allah has the power to benefit or harm people. Even if everyone in this world worked together against His plan to benefit or harm you, they would fail. Everyone put together, they would still not succeed. Only Allah controls everything. Islam is meant to make our lives easier. But when people start being superstitious, they complicate their lives and they start committing shirk. Anyone who believes in Allah does not believe in jibt or tagut. So this ayah was actually about the Jews, but even the Muslims do these things now. Although they are forbidden, we're not allowed to do these things. Okay, we're not allowed to believe in the jibt or tagut, but the Muslims are involved in this too now. And the only reason why people get involved in these things is because they don't know enough about their own religion. They don't study Islam. They don't know enough about it. They turn to these other things out of ignorance. And because they don't bother to learn about how they should be using their valuable time. If anyone has committed any of the sins from the list we just went over, they should seek forgiveness. And then they should make the intention that they're never going to repeat those sins. Okay? وَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا And they say to those who disbelieve, هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَبِيلًا That they are better guided to the right way than the believers. The disbelievers used to go to the Jews and ask them if they were on the more correct path or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So the disbelievers used to go to Jews and ask them this. They asked the Jews because they were considered the educated people, because the Jews were the ones with the book. So the Jews would ask them what they did to think that they are right, if they had done anything that makes them think that. And then the disbelievers used to say, we give water to the pilgrims, we sacrifice animals to feed people, we free slaves, we keep family ties. And they claimed that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam broke apart families. Na'udhu billah. So then the Jews used to tell them, then you are on the right path. Even though they clearly knew from their book that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a true messenger of Allah. Nobody knew this better than them. But they told the disbelievers that they're more guided than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though they were worshipping idols. Nowadays, sometimes Muslims start saying that others are better than Muslims because of some of the good things they see them doing. But we should never say that. How can they be better when they associate partners with Allah? They're doing shirk. So how can they be better than Muslims? We can say that someone has good manners or they're pleasant to deal with more than a specific Muslim that we may be talking about, but we can't say that the disbelievers are better than Muslims overall. That's not allowed. Some Muslims even dare to ask how the disbelievers will end up in Jahannam when they're better than Muslims are. Astaghfirullah. But that just shows how ignorant they are, that they don't know much about Islam at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us clearly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ Surely Allah doesn't forgive shirk, and He may forgive sins other than that if He so pleases. So how can people think that disbelievers are better? As if doing shirk is no big deal. They say that idol worshippers are more guided than Muslims. Astaghfirullah. And those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone are misguided, according to them? How can that be? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ Those are the ones whom Allah has cursed. وَمَنْ يَلْعَنِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ نَصِيرًا And the one who is cursed by Allah can find no helper. When we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them, it means that He has removed them from receiving mercy, from receiving His mercy. So He doesn't help them anymore. When people curse others, they ask Allah to withdraw His mercy from the other person and punish them for their evil deeds. But when Allah does la'na, it means that He has removed that person from receiving mercy from Him. It's important to know that people should not curse others or do la'na on them, because those words ascend towards the skies, but the doors of the skies are closed for them. They don't open. So that la'nat looks for a place to go to. It runs here and there looking for a place to go to. So Allah asks the angels, what's happening? When the angels tell him that so-and-so did la'nat on another person, Allah says, if the person who it was done to deserves to be cursed, then place it on him. If that person doesn't deserve to be cursed, place it on the one who invoked it. Therefore, people sometimes invoke la'nat on themselves. Unknowingly, they invoke the curse of Allah on themselves. So it's not something people should take lightly. People say la'nat on shaitan, and that's okay. But sometimes they even say this about their loved ones without even thinking about it. Or they say it about other people who don't even deserve it. So it comes back to them. That is why we should be really careful when we speak. We can't just say whatever we feel like saying. أَمْ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُلْكِ فَإِذَا لَا يُؤْتُونَ النَّاسَ نَكِيرًا. So, do they have a share in the kingdom? If they had any share, they would have not given anyone else equal to a speck on a date stone. They wouldn't have given other people even the smallest bit. So, naqira, as we covered already, is the little dot on the date stone. So, this is especially about the Jews, but it applies to others who have similar traits also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that they have no share in the kingdom. Okay, He isn't actually asking if they have a share or not when He says, أَمْ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُلْكِ. Okay, He's telling us they have no share in it. And if they did, they wouldn't have shared even the least bit with others. فَإِذَا لَا يُؤْتُونَ النَّاسَ نَقِيرًا. We learned the word fatila already before, and that means the thread on the date stone. Now the word mentioned here is naqira, and it means the dot on the date stone. It's the tiny hole on the side of the date stone. So if they had a share of the kingdom, they wouldn't have even given that much to anyone else. Allahu Akbar. We should always make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never makes us depend on anyone else but Himself. Because when we look around, we notice that people don't like to give others much at all. And before they help anyone out financially, they ask so many questions to make sure that the other person's actually needy. And people hesitate so much before they give anything to anyone, even though they don't give anyone else too much anyway. Although they know they're going to be rewarded for it, they still hesitate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even if they had a share in the kingdom, they wouldn't have given anyone the least bit because they're so stingy. We learned before too that they're stingy and they tell others not to give either. Anyone who acts this way is acting like the Jews, doing the things they did wrong because they didn't like to give others the smallest bit of anything. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Or do they envy other people because Allah has given them from His grace? This is about the Jews also, about how jealous they were of Prophet Muhammad when he was chosen as a prophet of Allah. The Jews wanted prophethood to stay within the Bani Ishaq, the Bani Israel. They couldn't stand that the Prophet ﷺ was Arab and he was chosen as a prophet. We already learned that jealousy is the feeling someone gets when they see another person with a blessing. And then they wish that blessing is taken away from that person because they just can't stand to see that person with that blessing. That's how the Jews were with Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. They did not want him to continue being the prophet, even though they had not even valued their prophets that were sent to them before. Even though they were from them, they mistreated their prophets, although they were from the Bani Israel. They were all from Bani Ishaq. So it wasn't like they would have really honored and followed him anyway, even if he had been from the Bani Ishaq. So how can anyone be jealous of another when Allah has given people what he wants out of his grace? It all belongs to Allah. It's not like anything he gives people belongs to other people anyway. If he grants people honor, sustenance, success, whatever, it's out of the fadl or grace of Allah. It's not due to that person's skills or anything that person has done. It's up to Allah to give whatever he wants to whomever he wants. And when people say that they worked so hard to get something or that they studied so hard to succeed, it's because Allah gave them the ability to study or work hard, or they would not have been able to do it. Allah is the one who gives people whatever blessings they have, even if sometimes others don't like it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned bukhl before, right? We learned the word bukhl, which means stinginess. And now he mentions hasad, which means jealousy or envy. So how are these two things connected? Because when people are stingy, they don't want anyone else to have anything good. And if anyone else gets something that's good, they're jealous of them. And they want it to be taken away from that person somehow. They want that person to lose that blessing. That is how the Jews were. And even now, they're like this. They're stingy and they just like to save money. And as for jealousy, even Muslims have started to envy others. Sometimes even their own family members and friends. They don't realize that hasad is one of the greater sins. That means if anyone is jealous of another person and dies without repenting, that counts as a kabira sin. It's sad that Muslims don't understand how serious this is. Many people actually think it's normal to envy anyone who is blessed with something. And they're not happy for that person. Instead, they just hope for that person to lose that blessing. And they're finally at ease when that person loses it. Astaghfirullah. This is why we are taught in Surah Falaq to say, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ. And from the evil of the jealous person when he envies. Because the jealousy of the envious person does harm others. So we have to seek protection of Allah against people who envy others. Some people just don't like to see anyone else enjoying the blessings they've been granted by Allah. And that can be in the way someone dresses. When they're dressed up nicely, people are not happy to see them that way. Or when someone's living a good life or has a good relationship with their spouse. Or they have a nice career. Or any kind of success. Some people just don't like to see others succeed. They don't admit that they're jealous, but they start saying negative things against that person due to jealousy. So what are we taught to do instead? If we feel jealous of anyone, what are we supposed to do? First of all, we should make dua for that person. Whenever we see somebody with a blessing, say Barakallahu feek. Secondly, we ask Allah for the same thing. Because it was granted to that person by Allah, he can give it to anyone else he wants to as well. So we can ask Allah if we want the same thing. And the third thing we should do is remind ourselves that this is according to what Allah willed. with the division of the blessings he gives people. He chose to give this person whatever they have. And if I'm not happy with his division, it means that I'm not pleased with his decree. Remember, he can give me what he gave the other person too. So instead of being jealous, just ask for it and be happy with the decree of Allah. Fourthly, remind yourself that every blessing is a test from Allah. Maybe this blessing is a test for someone. And if I had been granted that blessing, maybe I wouldn't have been able to handle it. And it would have led to my destruction. Maybe it would have distanced me from Allah. And it wouldn't have been good for me. This is what we should remind ourselves when we see other people with blessings that we don't have. Because if we feel jealous and envy others, if we feel that tightness in our chest, we end up wasting our own good deeds. So be happy for that person and ask for it if you want. And be pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given people, with his decree. Okay, and remind yourself that there's a test that comes with every blessing. Maybe Allah has saved me from testing me in this way. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every person who has a blessing is envied. So whenever you're granted blessings, keep in mind that there will be people who envy you. There will be people who find it unbearable to watch you enjoy that blessing. But remember what we learned from the beautiful example of Zakariya alayhi salam. What he said when he saw unseasonal fruits with Maryam alayhi salam. He didn't envy her or think that, oh, she's just a child and she's been blessed with so much even though she's so young. Instead, when Maryam alayhi salam said, this is from the fadl of Allah, Zakariya alayhi salam asked Allah for blessings as well. That teaches us a very important lesson. We're supposed to turn to Allah and ask Him to grant us out of His treasures. His treasures are so vast, He can give you even more than He granted the other person. But we shouldn't be jealous of that person. Also, we should count our own blessings and think that maybe the other person doesn't have those things. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will become like the former ummahs in feeling jealous and hatred. Stay away from jealousy. It burns good deeds like fire burns wood. We don't want to be left with no good deeds in the hereafter just because they all go to waste. So imagine someone thinking that they're so righteous when they actually have none of their good deeds left. Astaghfirullah. فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. If so, let them know that we did give the book and wisdom to the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we blessed them with a great kingdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Jews are jealous of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he gave the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam the book, he gave them wisdom and a great kingdom. There were countless prophets sent to them from Ali Ibrahim, from Ishaq alayhi salam's children. Ishaq alayhi salam's son, Yaqub alayhi salam, was called Israel. And so many prophets were sent among the Bani Israel from him. So there were so many prophets sent from Bani Israel before. There were so many that there were more than one prophet around at certain times. So they were given books, wisdom, and they were given the great kingdom. Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam were of them too. And they had kingdoms like no others were ever granted. Sulaiman alayhi salam had made dua to Allah, oh Lord, grant me a kingdom like no other will have after me. And subhanallah, he did. Not only did he rule over humans, he ruled over the jinnat, the animals and birds as well. So the Bani Israel are reminded here that they were granted so much already. There was a period in their history called the King's Period. Very great kings were chosen among them. And this period lasted for centuries. So Allah reminds them that they had all these blessings. So they shouldn't be jealous of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam now. When people are jealous, they forget about the countless blessings they have. And they just can't tolerate seeing the other person with the one thing they've been granted. And that's how the Jews were. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ صَدَّ عَنْ But some of them believed in it and some of them turned away. They were granted books and kingdoms before, but only some of them believed. The others did not believe. And they hindered others as well. وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا And sufficient is hell to burn those who turned away. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا Indeed, those who rejected our revelations. Again, this is specifically about the Jews. But it also goes for anyone who rejects the ayat of Allah. Anyone who doesn't believe in the orders of Allah when they receive them. For example, when someone finds out that they must pay zakah, if that person says that they don't believe in it, or if someone finds out that they have to pray salah, but they say that they don't believe it has to be done. That is really wrong. Because that person is rejecting the revelations of Allah. And for someone to know about an order of Allah and just disobey due to negligence or being lazy, like missing salah, for example, that's a big sin. But when someone says that they don't even believe in doing it, it's even worse. And their punishment is coming up next. And this goes for anyone who rejects, whether they are Jewish, Muslim, or whoever they claim to be. Whenever the message of Allah is conveyed to people, they're divided into three groups. The first group listens and obeys fully. The second group refuses to listen, no matter what they call themselves. They reject. The third group pretends to have accepted when they haven't fully accepted. The first group that fully accepts are those who will enter Jannah. The other two will end up in Jahannam. And that includes the hypocrites who say that they believe, but deep inside, they aren't really believers. سَوْفَ نُسْلِيهِمْ نَارًا Soon we will throw them into the fire. Astaghfirullah. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Kullama, whenever, nalijat juluduhum, their skins will be burnt out thoroughly, consumed with fire, consumed by fire. Baddalnahum, we will replace them. We will change their juludan, skins, ghayraha, other than it. Why? Liyadhukul adab. So that they may taste the real torment, and so that they may continue feeling that punishment. Science proves that our skin is where our pain receptors are. If we did not have skin, we wouldn't feel pain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this 1400 years ago, that their skins will be replaced so they continue feeling the pain. Because if one layer of skin is burnt out, they wouldn't feel the punishment anymore. So they'll be given one layer of skin after another so they can feel that pain. When the first will burn and fall off, the next will come. They'll continue to feel the pain of burning in the hellfire. We can't even tolerate burns from the fire of this world because it causes so much pain. And so many people even die when they're badly burnt. So imagine being burnt in that fire. The fire of Jahannam, which is far worse. The hellfire is a lot worse than the fire of this life that we see in this world, and people there will not be able to die after being burned. Here, when someone is in extreme pain, when they're badly burned, when they have third or fourth degree burns, they die, right? And then they basically escape that pain. That pain is over. But there in the hellfire, they'll stay alive forever. And they continue feeling that pain over and over again. As soon as their skins are burnt, they'll be replaced with new skin, so they feel that pain constantly. And this will happen 70,000 times every single day. Astaghfirullah. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu said, "It will be changed 100 times in a short period." Astaghfirullah. Now, after hearing all this, we should realize that nothing or no desire can be so important that we risk ending up in that condition. Sometimes people say it's okay if we end up in the fire. But how can they say that? It will not be bearable. We will not be able to tolerate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give people special skins so their bodies don't die from that fire. They will burn through and just be replaced with new skins. As for their bodies, a Musnad Ahmad hadith tells us, the bodies of the people of Jahannam will be made so big that the distance from their ear to their shoulder will be that of 700 years. Their skin will be as thick as 70 hand lengths. One tooth will be as big as Mount Uhud. So people will be huge, so they can feel the punishment more. Astaghfirullah. And this punishment is for anyone who rejects the ayat of Allah. This is how Jahannam burns people. We can't even imagine the intensity of that pain and how difficult it would be to go through extreme pain like that. Astaghfirullah, Ya Rabbi. In this world, even if we put our hand close to the fire accidentally, we can't bear that pain and we pull it back, right? Imagine all of the skin being burnt. That should make us think of all the things we do wrong and stop committing sins, especially the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially warns about, saying there's a painful punishment or there's a great punishment for people who do these things. We must stop doing those things because we really don't have a choice. And this ayah is proof that the Quran is the truth from Allah, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know science or that the skin feels the sensation of being burnt. That's proof that the Quran is the word of Allah, not Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's, because he didn't know this. Thirdly, we should know that rejecting one ayah of the Quran is like rejecting the whole Quran. Okay, this is scary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that whoever rejects the ayat of Allah, he doesn't say whoever rejects all the ayat of the Quran. Even when someone rejects one ayah of it says if they have rejected the whole Quran, because each ayah is from Allah. And the one ayah that anyone rejects is also from him. So disbelief in one ayah is like disbelief in all. Inna Allah kana azizan hakima. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always almighty and all wise. He has all the power and all the control. So nobody should even think that they will escape from him. And he is the all-wise, so nobody can object to people being punished for rejecting the ayat. They can't say that it was no big deal, and they didn't deserve to be punished in that way. Because Allah is all-wise, and he knows best. He is Aziz, so he has full authority. He has complete authority. He doesn't need to ask permission before doing anything. But he is all-wise too, so he doesn't just do things suddenly or seize people just because he's angry. He's not like us. All his actions are based on his complete wisdom. Allahu Akbar. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And as for those who believe and do righteous deeds, اللَّهُمَّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ. Ameen. سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Soon we shall admit them to gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will live forever. Note that the word sofa was used for the punishment for the people of Jahannam. And here the prefix sa is used for the people of Jannah. They both mean soon, sofa and sa. But the word sofa is used to mean a longer time period than the prefix sa. So sofa is for ba'id, meaning far, and sa is for qareeb, which is nearer. That means when people reject the ayat of Allah, Allah doesn't seize them and throw them into the hellfire right away. He gives them chances over and over again. They had their whole lives to repent, but they still didn't, so they'll end up there. That shows us how merciful Allah is. He gives people respite when they sin, and so many chances to repent. And for those who believe and do good deeds, he says, سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ. Soon we will admit them. But that soon means right away. As soon as that person dies, they'll be shown their eternal homes in Jannah. That's so that person feels at peace, and that person is at ease and content. When someone righteous leaves this world, a window towards Jannah is opened from that person's grave also. On the Day of Judgment, those people will be admitted to Jannah quickly. So there will be punishment on one side and Jannah on the other. But the mercy of Allah is much greater than the punishment, because the people of Jannah will live therein forever once they enter it. They will never be taken out to be thrown into the hellfire. But for those who enter Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may take them out and admit them to Jannah later on. We learned that from hadith. لَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. They will have purified spouses therein. So men will have chaste wives and women will have chaste husbands there. Does that mean the spouses people have in this world? What if somebody isn't happy with their spouse here, and they wouldn't want to be with that person in the hereafter? Or what if the spouse isn't even going to Jannah, like Asiya radiallahu anha's husband, the Pharaoh? He's not going to Jannah, right? So will she not have a spouse there? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them new spouses there. We don't know for sure if people will be with the spouses they had in this life or they will have new spouses. Wallahu a'lam. And there are many people who die even before they get married. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them spouses there. And those spouses will be purified. وَنُدْخِلُهُمْ. And will admit them. ذِلًّا ظَلِيلًا. In cool, thick shades. We learned that those shades will be peaceful. They'll be dense. One hadith tells us, if a person riding a horse traveled for 100 years in Jannah, the shade of a specific tree there will not end. SubhanAllah. We can't really understand this because we just can't imagine it. But Arabs used to love shades because the weather there used to be really hot. And shades are cool and they make people content. So they are a great blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about two possible outcomes here. So there's no third option that people can turn to find relief from Jahannam for some time if they end up there, na'udhu billah. Inshallah, in Surah Araf, we'll learn about a temporary place where people will be waiting, but that won't last too long. So there's really no other option besides Jannah or Jahannam. Whatever we do here will determine how our eternal lives will be. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to give back the trust to their rightful owners. We must first learn what amanat are. Amanat means anything that anyone is entrusted with. When you leave something in the care of someone you trust. We have some amanat from Allah that He gave us too. Like our bodies, our eyes, our ears, our children, our homes, wealth, everything we have. All these things were given to us by Allah. It's not like we brought them with us for ourselves. The second type of amanat are things that people entrust others with. It can be things that ask someone to hold on to when they trust them. Okay? Like when you tell someone to hold something for you, to keep it for you for a certain time. So it can be that, or it can be responsibilities that they trust another person to fulfill. Or it can even be something they tell someone when they ask that person not to tell anyone else. That's also a trust. So it can be a secret too that someone shared with you that you cannot disclose to others. That's also amanat. And amanat can be positions that people are chosen for. Okay, because they are trusted to fulfill the responsibilities that come with that position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to give the trusts to their rightful owners. This means that we should not only find people who are deserving to give amanat to, we should also make sure that they will fulfill their responsibilities. Okay, don't just hand over amanat to people who are not trustworthy. Okay, they have to be people who can be trusted. So how can we make sure that someone is actually trustworthy? The person who takes that amana, that trust, and tries their best to protect it is considered to be trustworthy. Secondly, that person doesn't use that trust for their own personal use. So before handing over trust to anyone, just check to make sure that person is actually able to handle what they're entrusted with. Okay, this is our responsibility. And make sure that it's someone who can fulfill that responsibility properly. If they're not capable of doing it, don't entrust them with it. So this means to choose people based on merit, if they're capable. Because jobs and positions are all amanat too. So it's important to choose people who deserve those positions. People shouldn't be selected just because they're related to someone or friends with someone or they're paying money as a bribe. Those should not be the reasons for people being chosen. Otherwise, people who don't deserve to be at certain posts end up with jobs that they can't even handle properly. The Quran tells us to give positions to their ahl, meaning the people who deserve them. So the system runs smoothly and countries don't suffer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave all these orders so people can live peaceful lives here. Of course, following these orders will benefit us in the hereafter, but it also helps us live better lives in this world too. All the things we learned about, like the rights of a spouse and about inheritance, if we implement all those rules, people live peaceful lives. All the chaos and enmity can be avoided if people follow those rules. Even while the disbelievers sat in Darun Nadwa, plotting the murder of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had their amanat with him. They were his enemies, but they knew that they could trust him with their things. So they kept their things with him. They knew he was trustworthy. They never doubted his honesty. And that's how Muslims are supposed to be. But sadly, a lot of Muslims have forgotten this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised Muslims to protect what they were entrusted with, to not betray anyone. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question people about trust. If anyone thinks that they're a true believer because they pray and fast and they try their best to do good deeds. It's not enough if they don't care for the things they're entrusted with. They have no faith. Okay, so in order to be true Muslims, true believers, they have to care for the things they're entrusted with. Even when someone asks for advice, we are supposed to give them sincere advice and tell them the truth. When someone asks for directions, we should give them accurate directions because that is an amana. That person is trusting you to guide them. If someone leaves something with us, saying they'll take it back later, we should care for that object. If someone gets a job, they're supposed to do the work properly that they're assigned to do and not use things at work for their personal use. One thing we learn about choosing someone for a position, we're supposed to choose someone who doesn't really care to be chosen, instead of someone who keeps asking and just wants that position really badly. Because when someone understands that they'll be questioned by Allah about their responsibility that comes with that position, that person doesn't want to take on that responsibility anyway. That person's afraid. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu used to cry when he was Khalifa. He used to say, even if a dog dies from hunger by the edge of the river Furat, Umar radiallahu anhu would be questioned about it. He used to say Umar would be questioned about it because it would happen under his leadership. So anyone who understands this doesn't ask for positions or titles. Okay? And our homes are our amanats too. So we'll be questioned about how we handle them and our kids. And when it comes to voting, that is an amana as well. We have to vote for people who deserve to be elected for that position, because that person will rule over people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to give amanat to people who don't deserve them. We must give them to deserving people. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when trusts start being wasted, just wait for the day of judgment. So that means the day of judgment is near. This ayah was revealed when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Makkah and went to Baytullah. He did tawaf on his camel and then he called Uthman bin Talha radiallahu anhu to give him the keys of the Kaaba that he was in charge of keeping. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him and asked for the key. Some narrations say when Talha went to get the keys from his house, his mother told him not to hand them over. But obviously he had to, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had conquered Mecca. When he was about to give the keys to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, give me the key so my family will be in charge of handling the keys and giving people zamzam water to drink. Of course, that would be a great honor. But when Uthman bin Talha heard this, he stopped. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for the keys again and the same thing happened again and again a third time. Then after the third time, Uthman gave them to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he said, I'm handing over the trust of Allah to you. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened the door of the Kaaba. He went in, he prayed salah, and he came out to do a khutbah. And as soon as he completed the khutbah, he sat down. Ali radiallahu anhu came forward and said, give the keys to me so your family can be the guards of Baytullah. So our family, because Ali was his cousin. So our family can be the guards of Baytullah and we would be responsible for giving zamzam to the pilgrims. But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't give the keys to him. He started doing tawaf around the Kaaba. He had only gone around a few times when Jibreel alayhi salam descended with this ayah. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to recite it. Umar radiallahu anhu said, let my parents be sacrificed for you. We have never heard you recite this ayah before. When he heard the recitation, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then called Uthman bin Talha radiallahu anhu and gave him the key. And he said, only an unjust person would take the key from you after this. Meaning the key would stay with Uthman's family from now on. Until this day, the key to the Kaaba is with Uthman bin Talha's family. So the amana was handed over to the deserving person. And as for protecting the amanat, Prophet ﷺ advised Muslims to give back the trusts of people who are trustworthy, to give back their trust, and also to those who betray your trust. We can't think that it's okay to not protect the amanat of those who cheat us. Okay, we have to return their amanat and protect their amanat as well. On the Day of Judgment, every amanat will have to be returned. Even though the person who was martyred in the way of Allah is forgiven for all his sins, he'll be asked to return that amana that he was entrusted with. He'll say that he can't because the world has come to an end. So he will be shown that object in the hellfire and he'll be told to get it. He will have to carry it on his shoulder. He'll fall and go back and fall again and will have to go back again. And he'll continue to be punished in that way. This is from Ibn Kathir. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ And when you judge between people, judge with fairness. Justice or adl is to give the person their due right. All of Allah's rules for people are based on adl, regardless of what race or religion they follow. That means that we can't favor a Muslim over a non-Muslim when the Muslim is at fault. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam judged in favor of a Jewish person against a Muslim person because that Jewish person was right. And we have to be just when it comes to judging between our kids or other family members. Inna Allah ni'ma ya'idhukum bih. Indeed, Allah is indeed excellent is the counsel that Allah gives you. So Allah is excellent with the advice He gives you. In a society where people give the amanat to the deserving people and they judge based on adl, life would be so peaceful. Nobody would be afraid of being treated unjustly. And that would lead to success. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا Indeed, Allah is always all-hearing and always all-seeing. People do many things to deceive others, and they think that nobody found out, and that nobody is ever going to find out. But we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears and sees everything. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته